Streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
Black Buffalo Zero products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of comparable products. If you're an adult age 21 and older who dips, I want to tell you about Black Buffalo Zero pouches. What are they made of? Pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves. Food-grade ingredients. Most importantly, there's no nicotine or tobacco. All proudly made here in the U.S. So if you're 21 and older and want to learn more about Black Buffalo Zero, head over to blackbuffalozero.com to learn more. You can buy their pouch online, ship directly to most states. Black Buffalo Zero, zero nicotine, zero tobacco, 100% ritual.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlansport.com.
Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at FoxSportsRadio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go on a Wednesday. We are live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. Preseason games ready to roll. Joy Taylor is joining me on a lively show today. Nick Wright shows up later in the hour, next hour, I should say, 1 hour from now. Joy, how are you?
I'm doing great. Football season is here. I'm excited. There are some really interesting stories for this season to watch.
Yes. And it's been an unusually slow July and early August. There's not a lot of controversy. We were talking about this yesterday. Athletes make more money. They've got more handlers. I think they're smarter. They make fewer mistakes. And so we haven't had major controversies except one with Deshaun Watson. So an independent arbiter came out, Sue Robinson, and said, give Deshaun Watson 6 games. Roger Goodell said, that's not enough. As I had said, I would double it, minimum, 6 for the preponderance of evidence and 6 for lying about it. Roger Goodell talked yesterday. They are now pushing for a 1-year suspension, and here's the commish.
We've seen the evidence. She was very clear about the evidence. She reinforced the evidence that there was multiple violations here, and they were egregious, and it was predatory behavior. Those are things that we felt, we always felt were really important for us to address in a way that's responsible.
If I own the Cleveland Browns, I'd take my lumps, take the suspension, and move on. But that's my personality. I'm somebody, if I have issues in my life, I clean them off the table. My wife and I talk about this all the time. There's no reason to create anxiety for multiple people and the kids and the family. Make a mistake. We all do. Own up to it. Pay it off. Clear it off the table. Whatever you got to do. I am not a big believer of fighting, battling conflict. I think it starts to deteriorate lots of people beyond yourself. That's what I would do. Now, first of all, this is one of these stories. You either get it or you don't, and I'm not going to argue with the people who don't. Deshaun Watson's a creepy predator. That's the behavior I have seen so far, and he's never been honest about it. So, plus, Cleveland made it worse by rigging his contract, so he makes nothing in the first year. They knew he was going to get suspended by paying him $46 million in year two and only $700,000 in year one. And I've heard people argue, oh, that's a brilliant strategy. And no, it's not. It's actually dumb because it's morally corrupt, and because it's so transparent, you can see it from a mile away. It didn't catch anybody off guard. It just ticked off all the owners who don't like the Haslams to begin with. So if I was Cleveland and I own the team, I just take my lumps, deal with it, and then I know I have Deshaun Watson for the following 5 years after that, and I would crush it. But that's probably what they won't do, because billionaires often don't surround themselves with people that challenge them. And the Haslams have made horrible decisions time and time again. They gave Freddie Kitchens a head coaching job. Nobody would even consider him for a coordinator. He was a position coach. Why did they do that? Because they don't have enough people in their life that would say, what are you doing? A lot of people in power don't want to be challenged. They drafted Johnny Manziel because a guy on the street told him to draft Johnny Manziel. Nobody pushed back in the building. Hell, I saw that one from a mile away. They brought back Hugh Jackson after he was 1-15. He went 0-16, and they brought him back again. So people that don't surround themselves with people that hold them accountable tend to make bad decisions. I had a situation in my life about 3 days ago. Long story, won't get into it. It was an advertiser, and I called four people I trust in my industry and sat down, listened to all of them, and not that it changed the course of where I was going, but I took their advice. The Haslams make bad, bad decisions over and over again with quarterbacks and coaches and Deshaun Watson. So I'm pretty sure they're going to absolutely butcher this. To me, it seems so obvious. The league is going to punish you. They're not going away. You're not popular owners. By guaranteeing the contract, you ticked off all the other owners. So you have no allies in this fight. Deshaun Watson did creepy stuff and predatory stuff, and it's right there. It seems so obvious to me. The franchise has been a mess for most of the last 20 years. What's one more year to get it off the table and eventually appeal or appease the league? But I have no confidence whatsoever the Haslams would do that. Some successful people have done it despite themselves. And the fact that this team made the playoffs and has stumbled into a really sharp young GM is almost unfathomable, because if you look at the last 6 or 7 years, they just make bad decisions. This franchise, and they're not the only one. Chicago makes bad decisions. Houston makes bad decisions. Jacksonville's made bad decisions. The league leader in bad decisions have been the Haslams and the Browns. I would take my lumps. I doubt they will. So, you know, in an act of fairness, that's the only way this could be assessed, is I'm going to say something nice about Aaron Rodgers, because I didn't love him talking about psychedelic drug use. I think if you want to change your life, you could go to a licensed professional, not out in the forest, and take a tea that makes you vomit and poop. But that story has now passed. Aaron Rodgers doesn't really want to play 4 snaps in a preseason game. He thinks it's, well, let's let Aaron describe this.
I don't see any benefit to it. I definitely don't see any benefit to playing one series. You know, if we're going to play, we should play. And play a quarter, a couple series, 2 or 3 series. If we're going to – just suiting up for 4 plays, to me, is a waste. I think that's kind of a no-win situation to the outside the building. And if somebody gets hurt, oh, I can't believe they played our guys. But if we go out and have a stinker, I can't believe they didn't play them. So – I think it's just, you just got to do what's best for the squad.
Aaron doesn't need to play in the preseason. One of the reasons I've always loved the NFL is, and I've said this many times, I'm just not somebody who lives and romanticizes about things in the rearview mirror. I'm a windshield guy, not a rearview mirror guy. And all the products we have, you ever had a product and it's new and improved? And I love that, because a company has a product, and then a company goes, hey, new research shows our audience doesn't love this about our product, and so we're going to offer a new and improved product with some of the same foundational qualities, but we're going to elevate it. So I like new and improved. And one of the reasons I love the NFL is they could put a banner over the league every year, new and improved. They get rid of stuff if it doesn't work. They elevate or adapt or evolve if they can improve it. The NFL is the new and improved league. Baseball struggles with change. Football doesn't do things simply because somebody before them did things. Love that kind of business. So Matt Stafford last year didn't play a single snap in the preseason. Not a snap. How'd he do game one? Perfect against the Chicago Bears. Three touchdowns and 156 passer rating. Daniel Jones played all sorts of snaps for the New York Giants in the preseason. His first week, he lost by two touchdowns, 22 of 37. You can either play or you can't. Okay, in college football, think about this. It's 19, 20, 21-year-olds. They have no preseason. And they're limited on the hours they can actually practice. NFL's not. Bryce Young, Alabama, goes from California to Alabama, first game, four touchdowns, no picks, 344 yards. Limited practice, no preseason, 19-year-old quarterback. You're telling me NFL quarterbacks need preseason games? They simply do not. Tom Brady won a Super Bowl in a year in which there was a pandemic. He had no OTAs or exhibition games. In fact, he had to practice on a high school field with a helicopter hovering overhead. Aaron Rodgers, I hear this. Well, he's got new receivers. Yes, so four snaps means nothing. The NFL mostly does everything right. They really do. They're the new and improved league. If it was up to me, I would reduce the preseason to one game. And I would play undrafted free agents, rookies, borderline guys, guys holding on by a string, and I'd play them for 3.5 hours. And that's what I would do. I think the preseason is about injuries. It looks aesthetically awful with empty seats. There is absolutely no proof that playing in the preseason makes you better. Matt Stafford did not take a single snap and was brilliant with a brand new offense and brand new teammates in week one against the Bears, a team that had a pretty good defense. Daniel Jones played all sorts of snaps. He was awful in week one and lost by two touchdowns. This is one of the few things the NFL needs to get right. They went from four preseason games to three. I would reduce it to one. There's an argument to be made. Scrimmages with other teams, 1 3.5-hour outlet. Every other year you get a home preseason game. By the way, the attendance would probably improve if you only asked people to pay for one more game every other year instead of two home games a year, which they previously had. So I agree with Aaron Rodgers. Kind of a waste of time. Four snaps, 10 snaps. Aaron can play. The young wide receivers, it's called practice. You can get better there too. So they had another. I've been on this for a couple years with the Lakers. So everything gets out. And, sometimes, usually when stuff gets out, somebody wants it out, and it's messaging. So the Lakers yesterday had a big private meeting with Rob Pelinka, LeBron, Rich Paul, who runs Clutch Sports. He's a big agent. LeBron's agent, AD's agent. And the messaging was so obvious, they were directing it to Russell Westbrook. It's painful. That coming up next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured. Not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
That Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world. They just disagree on how.
We're going to get across that wasteland, and we're going to do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
All right, nice to have you back. So, stuff gets out when somebody wants it out. So, recently, four important people with the Lakers met together, according to a story I'm reading. LeBron James, his agent, Rich Paul, who represents LeBron and Anthony Davis. So LeBron, his agent, the head coach, the new head coach, Darvin Ham, and Rob Pelinka, who runs the organization, right? At least basketball operations. Those four people met. And there were, the story has four or five different leaks, according to sources. And listen to what is leaked. That they all agreed on four or five things. And it's very important in this story that everybody was on board with these four things. Constant cohesion. That means playing well with others. Westbrook doesn't. Foster an atmosphere of selflessness. Westbrook is ball-centric, often has a very, my best friend is the ball attitude. Players have to play new roles. We know Westbrook has one way to play. And the offense runs through AD. According to Chris Haynes, well, AD wasn't at the meeting. I think he would like that. All four of those leaked seem like wake-up calls for Westbrook. None of those four, because remember, LeBron's the star. There's only two other stars in the organization, AD and Westbrook, and neither was at the meeting. None of those four sound like a shot at AD. AD does play well with others. He and LeBron's chemistry, Joy and I talked about this, like the second game together, it was great. They want the offense to run through Anthony Davis. He wasn't at the meeting. It didn't say Westbrook. He wants players to play new roles. Well, I mean, Anthony Davis plays the five, plays the four. Again, he's always listened and been a very good teammate of LeBron James. And they want to hold everybody accountable to be unselfish. We have never one time said Anthony Davis is selfish. That's not his brand. He's not always as committed as I'd love. Like if there would have been in this meeting a couple of other boxes, like you have to come to camp in great shape. Westbrook always does. AD sometimes does. That would have been a shot at AD. Or if you're a big, we need you to stop shooting threes all the time and be a big. That would be a shot at AD. Instead, and Chris Haynes' story, the four or five agreements, according to LeBron, his agent, the president, and the coach, were all things that Westbrook has to work on. Westbrook has a new agent. He wasn't in the meeting. Russ wasn't in the meeting. AD wasn't either. But his agent was. his representation was. So this is a great example of getting something out so Russell Westbrook and his agent see it, and this is what you're going to get in camp. So you better get your mind to understand this is what we're asking of you. Be less selfish. Be willing to play other roles. The offense isn't really going to go through you. And be more cohesive. Like, play defense. Try. Hey, AD, by the way, is an elite defensive player. Westbrook has regressed badly over the last 5 years. So, stuff gets out because somebody wants it out, and it's real clear. LeBron, his agent, the coach, and the GM. Those four or five boxes were all very much aimed at Westbrook. And all simultaneously, things AD already does well. He is cohesive. He is unselfish. He's willing to play multiple positions. And he certainly is going to like the offense run through him. Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, it's that time of year, unfortunately, where we will have some bad news on injuries going into the season for different teams. And it's out of Jets camp. Offensive tackle Mekhi Becton is expected to miss the entire season due to a chip fracture in his right kneecap, which sounds extremely painful. He is still seeking outside medical opinions, but is expected to need surgery. And this would be his second surgery in 11 months on his right knee. He suffered an injury last season in week 1, and that was season ending. So the Jets are in talks with former Seahawk Dwayne Brown to replace him. Becton's under contract through 2023 to make fully guaranteed $3.1 million in the final year of his rookie deal. But if he misses the entire season, he will have missed 35 of a possible 50 games due to injuries.
He's a bust. So at this point, he's a bust. So this is what often happens is you get a young quarterback, like the Chargers get Justin Herbert, and then the following draft, they go get a left tackle.
He was the highest graded offensive lineman for the Jets in 2020. For Football Focus.
So the Chargers got their quarterback and then got a left tackle, and they're both A+. The Jets go get a quarterback, and then they get a left tackle, and the left tackle's a bust. So now you're reeling. Dwayne Brown's past his prime, but he's certainly serviceable. Not great, but he's a veteran. He's a pro. He'll be fine. You can live with Dwayne Brown at left tackle. He's fine. But we always talk about you got to get the right positions right.
Yeah.
It's hard. That's where the Chargers have hit a couple of home runs where they got the quarterback right and they got the left tackle right. That's two of the five positions, and they're not paying either one of them big boy money yet. The Jets, we don't know, and this is the difference in organizations. The Jets, we don't know if the quarterback's right and the left tackle's a bust. So this stuff's not easy. It is hard.
No, it's not. And then to the Jets' credit, at least they did draft the right positions that they were supposed to.
Yes.
But sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. They allowed 53 sacks last season. That was fourth most in the NFL. That's not generally a good recipe for a young quarterback.
Now, the Giants have done the same thing. The Giants went and got their quarterback and then went and got a left tackle from Georgia. I think the left tackle is their best offensive lineman. I think they whiffed on the quarterback. So again, the Chargers are rare. 2 years, two picks, two positions, A+++++.
Yeah, all the more reason why the Chargers
are
make the playoffs
viable
this year.
Jets may have gotten the quarterback right, left tackle wrong. Giants got the left tackle right, quarterback wrong.
So some more injury updates. Adam Schefter reported that the Browns have placed wide receiver Jakeem Grant on IR with a torn Achilles.
They're not great at wide receiver anyway. He's a return guy. Yeah.
And then at Bucks camp, Russell Gage had to leave practice early with a left leg injury.
We were watching that live this morning. So they got Mike Evans has an injury. Gage has an injury. Their center could be out for the year. The backup center's been hurt. So Tampa's got some major offensive injuries right now through a week of camp.
Yeah, I mean, this is the time of year. You want to just get through training camp as healthy as possible. You were just talking about Aaron Rodgers, and, you know, I completely agree with him, especially for veterans. There's just no value to being on the field. I mean, they know how to play football.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers has won back-to-back league MVPs. He understands what he's doing. Training camp is the important part, and you just want to get out of training camp healthy. So the Broncos are opening their new season with a new franchise quarterback in Russell Wilson, and now they have a new ownership group. So James Palmer reported the NFL owners approved the sale of the Broncos yesterday to the Walton Penner Group for a record $4.65 billion, breaking the previous American sports franchise record set by the Nets when they were sold for about $2.3 billion.
Yeah, these numbers are only going up.
Absolutely. So the group is led by Walmart heir Rob Walton and his family, and they now own the Colorado Avalanche, the Denver Nuggets, the Colorado Rapids, through Stan and Ann Walton Kroenke. Stan Kroenke obviously owns the Rams and Arsenal FC. He's married to Ann, Rob's cousin.
Yeah, they've got a lot of money in that family. The Waltons and the Kroenkes.
It's wealthy.
They can pay for a wedding. Let's just say that.
Yes. So also Condoleezza Rice has joined their ownership group, former U.S. Secretary of State.
Yeah.
As did the co-CEO of Ariel Investments and chair of the board of Starbucks, Melody Hobson, and Lewis Hamilton. Formula One star. So they have an interesting group there, collective, that owns the team. The Broncos will be fine. They are a very well-run organization.
Yeah.
There's a lot of money behind this ownership group, as we just mentioned. So as long as, and I would anticipate this ownership group is going to continue operating things as they are, which is when you have someone who's extremely wealthy and this isn't a mom and pop shop type of place, you just keep it well-funded and let the football people do what they do, which is what I think that will happen with the Broncos. So the Broncos were listed as the 10th most valuable NFL franchise in 2022 and climbed 22% from the previous year. We talk about this all the time. Sports in general, as a whole, any type of competition that you can air on television has skyrocketed in value because the way that we as a consumer consume content now is mostly on demand. YouTube, social media, streaming. The rarity of a live event has created such urgency that even any type of sport that you can air on television has extreme value for advertisers.
Well, I mean, if you were really rich and you could put your money anywhere, you know the Denver Broncos won't go belly up over the next 100 years. They will be in Denver and called the Broncos 100 years from now. You have no idea about your tech company. I mean, Instagram was the hottest thing in the world 5 years ago. It's been engulfed by TikTok. You just don't know. So if you're really, really rich, you could have another home and have real estate, but we have housing bubbles, we have equity bubbles, we don't have sports bubbles. These things keep going up. Also, think about this. When you start a company, every company is essentially, almost every company is looking for free publicity. Can you imagine having a company that every Sunday you put the company on TV and 15 million people watch it? It that's the value. That's why the richest people in the world want to own English Premier League teams and NFL teams, because in Europe and in America, the eyeballs on that business. I've said this before. If the Cowboys were for sale tomorrow, and I mean we have so much money in oil, and I mean the Saudi money is essentially creating a tour overnight, and somebody said Jerry Jones could sell it for $20 billion, that number is not outrageous. When Steve Ballmer bought the Clippers, I could be wrong, but it was $2 billion. I can remember listening to people say it's not, they're worth $800 million. My takeaway was he bought them cash, and he's not selling them. So they're going to be worth $10 billion in 20 years. So I have the money. I'm moving out of Microsoft. I'm buying them cash. Also, by owning them, I was in the same building as the Lakers. And to me, so you had this elite facility that you were buying as well. You were buying into that. And so in the entertainment capital of the United States. So when people said it's $2 billion, folks, they always say trees don't grow to the sky in investing. They do in pro sports.
Yeah.
This is the last place you can put money in the world.
And where it's not going to go anywhere.
Except up.
And the only pushback from that would be a unprecedented
strike,
global pandemic.
Or a pandemic shuts the game down, or a really bad strike, which
basically that'll be temporary.
Right.
Like the pandemic obviously was one thing that was out of everyone's control. But other than that, you're good to go. So Josh Allen has been one of the rising stars in the NFL since he was drafted in 2018. Led the Bills to double-digit wins in each of the last three seasons. And Aaron Donald has an interesting comparison for him in the league.
He's a big guy. He's a tough guy. He's athletic. In my opinion, he's like a futuristic kind of Big Ben, a little bit more athletic. Mm. He can move a little bit better, but he's a guy that ain't going to go down easy, so you got to come with your big boy pads when you get to wrap him up.
Yeah, I think he's actually more talented. He's more mobile.
Well, I think that's Aaron's way of saying more talented. I think futuristic is his way to say that Josh Allen is more talented. I mean, look, we shouldn't just evaluate Big Ben off of the last few years that we've seen Big Ben. Big Ben in his prime was quite spectacular. And to the real part that Aaron is talking about here is how hard it is to take him down. There are certain quarterbacks that are easier to sack. He might not have been the most mobile guy, but Big Ben would literally stand there and make a defender drag him to the ground. And Josh Allen is also mobile, to add to that, which Big Ben wasn't the most mobile quarterback. So I see the comparisons from the size perspective and from the perspective that Aaron's talking about, which is you're not just going to go bump into him and he's going to fall on the ground.
Also, small school guys overlooked by the big schools, small town guys who end up in cold weather NFL cities with defensive coaches and rabid fan bases.
Right.
So there's a lot of similarities to the two that just, if you look at their journey and where they've landed, Mike Tomlin was this young ascending defensive coach. Sean McDermott is this young ascending defensive coach, both playing cold weather. So their ball cuts through windy weather in Buffalo or Pittsburgh. I mean, it really is the ultimate spot on comp.
It is a good comp. And I love listening to defensive players talk about which quarterbacks are harder to take down. Because, like, who's hard for Aaron Donald to tackle? It's Aaron Donald. He's the best player in the league, and he's instant Hall of Famer. He would knock over anyone, but it's always amazing to me to see the guys that they're like, oh, I had to put in a little more effort.
Yeah. Good stuff, Joy, with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
So Hard Knocks was on last night. That's the Detroit Lions. Dan Campbell's interesting. So he had a run as an interim coach in Miami. It didn't work well. I thought his initial press conference in Detroit, he butchered it. Campbell is an incredibly passionate guy, loves his players. I find him infinitely likable, highly emotional. He cries at the drop of a hat. That's a great quality. And his players, similarly, are very emotional because that's kind of the passion he spreads. So this was Jamal Williams from the Lions last night. It's like he's taken a cue from Dan Campbell about, I'm all in. The world doesn't believe in us, and it's become a very, very emotional team.
Jamal Williams, break it up.
Bring it up. I'm going to let y'all know, man, today is the minimum of effort. Do not give up. Do not feel like you're tired. When you're tired, think of last year and think of that f***ing record. Every time I get tired or I think I can't go no more, I think of that f***ing record. Last year wasn't it. That ain't us. We can make it. Have some heart. I get emotional about this. I'm about to cry because I care about y'all. Do your best. Let's go. Lions on three. 1, 2, 3.
Lions.
It's fun. I mean, it's incredibly, infinitely likable. I tend to think it doesn't win you any games. I think there's four things in the NFL that win you games. Talent, situational excellence, elevated quarterback play, and don't turn the ball over a lot. That's the game. That's the league. Can this give you a lead at half against a bad team? Maybe. But Detroit is unique in that mostly in this league, you and I are going to agree on the really good teams at the top, about 10, and the really bad teams at the bottom. Detroit, when you look at their schedule, they may be the only team in this league I could talk myself into them winning 9 games or 4. They get a real break with their schedule. 7 games on their schedule, they face a team with a fairly shaky quarterback situation where Jared Goff will get better protection and be a better quarterback than who they face. Washington, Seattle, Chicago, the Giants, the Jets, Carolina, Chicago. Those are young quarterbacks, or Carson Wentz, mistake-prone quarterbacks. They also face 2 talented quarterbacks, both at home and both young, Jalen Hurts and Trevor Lawrence. So they're going to have a quarterback either experience edge, home field edge, or consistency edge in 9 games. Okay, so that's 60% of your schedule. Could they go 8-1 in those games? Absolutely. They were very, very competitive last year against good teams often. They just didn't have any depth, and they were terrible defensively. They didn't have a pass rush. They were bad on the back end. Nobody gave up more late touchdowns, it felt like, than Detroit. So they are a very unique team. And that you start looking at this schedule, and if they stayed healthy with their offensive pieces, you could see them winning 9 games. I don't. I see them winning like 6, 7. But I think the emotional stuff makes them easy to root for. I've always felt this league comes down to 4 things. You got to have talent. You got to be excellent situationally because the games are close. You have to have elevated quarterback play off script. And you can't turn the ball over a ton. An occasional pick is okay. Can't fumble it. And if the ball's on the turf, you better pick it up, not them. So easy to root for, rooting for them. We said last year they were the most interesting bad team in the league. My guess is they're a 7-win team. That's it. But I will say this. A friend of mine who gambles for a living thinks they're going to beat Philadelphia. It's the bet of the week in week 1. And he thinks they're going to win 9 games and be a playoff team. So there are people who do this for a living that gamble professionally think they, not my Vikings, the Lions, are the sleeper in the league. Mention Hard Knocks, by the way, is currently streaming on HBO Max, which does a nice job with sports.
They were in a lot of really close games last
year. Oh, absolutely.
Though.
Not you as could... many as Minnesota, but a lot against good teams. They were a Rams game was tight. The Ravens game was tight.
It just felt like they needed a little more, like a little more polish, a little more experience, a little more situational, but they were right there. So I don't really feel like that's very far off.
Yeah. So you know what they needed? They needed another draft. They needed 4 starters out of the draft and 3 starters
but
in free agency.
But you have to build on something. Yes. When you're trying to create a culture, when you're trying to turn around a habitually dysfunctional place, you want to build things. At the beginning, you know it's going to be rocky, but you want to see things that you can build on.
There you go.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured. Not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
That Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to
fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, they just disagree on how.
We're gonna get across that wasteland, and we're gonna do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
Save big on your water bills with Navien. 15-year limited warranty. Go to tanklessmadesimple.com. Efficient, durable, Navien. Albert Breer has been to the Cowboys, Ram, and Charger camps. Today he's at the Cardinals. Tomorrow it's the Raiders. Well, hey, Arizona had quite the noisy offseason. I tended to be a supporter of Kyler Murray. To me, the organization was a mess. He makes them viable. Mm-hmm. They can win any Sunday with Kyler Murray. I don't believe he doesn't watch any film. If he's this good with no film, he's the greatest player in league history. So, but it's been a lot of noise, and there feels like there's anxiety. What's your sense of what you've seen so far?
Yeah, I mean, a couple of things. I mean, first, they have to stay healthy, and that's a huge part of it with the age of their team and older players. And you see it out here today. I mean, there are a lot of guys taking vet days. And so that's something they're going to have to manage over the course of the year. And then I think the other thing just relates to Kyler's leadership. And that's why you had those clauses in his contract, is they're looking to him looking for him to be more of a front of the room type of guy.
Yeah.
And that's really naturally not who he's been. And I talked to Cliff before practice, and he said they're starting to see some of those things for Kyler. It's going to have to be there when things get tough, Colin, because I'm not sure that they thought that was there last year. But, you know, when they gave him the contract, I think those clauses were sort of meant to be, and obviously they were taken a lot of different ways, but they were meant to be sort of a little kick in the behind and telling you, you're the quarterback of the team, you're the face of the franchise, we need you to take care of the other responsibilities outside of just being a really good player that come with that position.
Yeah, I like the way you put it. Be a front of the room leader, not a back of the room leader, which is, we understand in the NFL with quarterback, not every star in every sport has to be a front of the room guy. Quarterback, it feels like you sort of do. So you went to Cowboys camp. I have real concerns about losing a right tackle, losing Amari, losing Cedric Wilson, Michael Gallup. You know, if you look at the way this league is going, we are pivoting toward an offensive league, and the good teams are adding weapons. They lost to, and I think Cedric Wilson's a wildly underappreciated weapon. What was your feeling about the camp there?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they're going to have to, like, sort of tread water, I mean, over the first month of the season. It sort of feels that way, at least. Michael Gallup might not be back. James Washington, a guy that they brought over, broke his foot. And so beyond CeeDee Lamb now, they don't have a whole lot at the position. Noah Brown's been there for 6 years. They're optimistic that he can take a step forward, but can he be a true number two? How does Dalton Schultz factor into that? How do they manage Zeke Elliott and Tony Pollard? And so much of this to me, Colin, is going to be, can you tread water early in the year and get yourself into contention in October and November when you start to get some of those guys back? And a big part of it, too, is going to be CeeDee Lamb. You know, and I think one of the things that's sort of interesting, he really popped in camp last year and had a really good year last year, but that was with Amari Cooper on the team. I'm not sure they've seen the same sort of leap forward year over year that they did last year from CeeDee Lamb. And so I think his presence is going to be really, really important. Whether or not he can become a true number one guy who's going to bring attention with him, who's going to open things up for everybody else, I think CeeDee Lamb is a very, very important piece of the puzzle for them over the first month of the season.
I have to ask you a Patriot question. There are some things that even a dim bulb like me may be able to figure out. I don't like defensive coaches taking over a young second-year quarterback Mac Jones's responsibilities. I think it's clunky. I think if you look at what the Chargers have done with Herbert, what the Bengals have done with Burrow, what Arizona's done with Kyler Murray, they keep furnishing them with offensive help. It can be coaching. It can be weapons. I mean, God, they brought in Zach Ertz. Arizona just keeps giving Kyler more help. This New England thing, I mean, I watched Mac Jones at the podium yesterday. He looks defeated.
Yeah, and I've heard that he's frustrated. I don't like the logic here. You know, a big part of the logic for Bill, my understanding, and not bringing Bill O'Brien back from Alabama was that he was afraid he was going to lose him after the year. The same thing happened in the front office, where Elliott Wolf, who'd been a GM candidate for the Vikings and the Bears in the offseason, he gets passed over for Matt Groh. And I think a lot of that is because Bill Belichick knows Matt Groh is going to be here probably long term, and Matt Patricia and Joe Judge probably aren't going anywhere either. And I just compare that, and you look at the juxtaposition between that and where the Rams are, and where the Rams keep cycling through assistance, and they're okay if they lose a guy after a year or two, they view that as a good problem to have. And you see Bill, and you know, now he's in his 70s, and is this just because he doesn't want to go through a lot of change over the next few years? That piece of it's really hard for me, because if that's why you're making decisions with something so critical as the development of your second year quarterback on the line, I'd have an issue with it. So there's a lot of change there. There's no question about it. They're trying to untangle the offense and simplify it a little bit, because it did get, you know, pretty complicated over 20 years under Tom Brady. And I mean, to me, I look at the logic behind these moves, and then I look at the execution of these moves. And I'm just telling you, Colin, if it wasn't Bill Belichick doing this, I think a lot of people would be very, very critical of what's going on there.
Couple of minutes left. You were at Rams practice. A little tendonitis or sniffness for Stafford. I mean, they're bringing the band back. It's mostly upgrades at linebacker. I think Allen Robinson's an upgrade. What was your take?
Yeah, I mean, this is something that Matthew's been dealing with for a while. It's not new, so he's got to manage it. That said, I mean, I've learned over 18 years covering the league that anything with the quarterbacks throwing elbow, throwing shoulder, you have to take those things seriously. And I think the management of Matthew Stafford through the early stages of camp is fine. If we start to see this a week or two out from the season, then we're talking about something else. As for the rest of the team, it does seem like it's a motivated group. And I do think one of the things that really helps there is the quality of person they have at the top of the roster. You know, and I know that's something Sean McVay really has bought into, and where they've invested their draft capital and where they've invested their contracts. Matthew Stafford, Aaron Donald, Cooper Kupp, Jalen Ramsey are all high-level competitors. And I think that that's what they think is going to be able to sustain them through the challenge of defending a championship and keeping the group hungry. So I think really it's about like that, those four guys they built the team around, keeping the team where it needs to be from a mindset standpoint coming off of a championship.
All right, Albert Breer's bouncing around. He's attending the Raiders tomorrow. And I'll say this for the Raiders, that they got a lot of weaponry, man. There's a lot of really interesting players.
Yeah, horses.
Horses, they do. Albert, great seeing you. So,
all right, thanks, Don.
I mean, look at a prime example. Look what the Raiders did. They brought in Josh McDaniels and Davante Adams. Let's give our star quarterback a brilliant offensive coach and a star receiver. What did Cincinnati do this offseason? We're going to fix the interior of the O-line. They went out and spent a lot of money. You know, what did the Chargers do last year? We're going to go steal the Packers center, best center in the league, arguably, and we're going to draft a left tackle. And they continue to draft wide receivers. Like that's the game. New England, we're going to bring over defensive coaches and then go spend money on Devontae Parker, who doesn't separate, and then take weird, odd reaches in the draft. It's just the aesthetic of it's bad. This is not what you do for rookie or second or third year quarterbacks. Hour two, Nick Wright around the corner next.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com. /compatibility.
Hey everyone, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
That Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, they just disagree on how.
We're gonna get across that wasteland, and we're gonna do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.